Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for February 4th, 2014. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be talking with Ravi Iyengar and John Hay about using network modeling to predict ways to reverse kidney damage. There are a lot of diseases and chemical compounds, even prescribed drugs, that can cause kidney damage. A common form of kidney damage involves the foot processes of the podocytes, which are cells that are critical to the kidney's ability to filter waste from the blood. Podocytes are named for their foot-like projections that wrap around capillaries, and the function of podocytes relies on this specialized morphology. Blood is filtered through tiny slits between the feet of adjacent podocytes, and these slits allow water, salts, and waste to pass through while keeping proteins and other large molecules in the blood. That filtrate is then further processed in the nephron to return some of the water and salts to the blood before the waste gets sent to the bladder as urine. When the podocytes' feet are damaged, proteins can leak out of the blood and end up in the urine. Not much is known about the molecular mechanisms that mediate these pathological changes in podocyte morphology, and so a group led by Ravi Iyengar and John Hay identified proteins associated with damaged kidneys and then used computational methods to predict strategies for restoring normal podocyte morphology and function. Hay and Iyengar spoke to me by telephone from the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York City. Hello, Dr. Iyengar. Dr. Hay, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Hello, Annalisa.
Hello, Annalisa.
The morphology of podocytes is critical for their function, and in some kidney diseases, there are changes in podocyte morphology that affect their function. How is podocyte morphology affected in kidney disease?
The kidney podocytes form the last barrier of glomerular filtration unit. In normal human beings, podocytes have multiple prolongations called the foot process. Between podocytes, foot process make an interdigital connection through a tiny membrane called a slit diaphragm. This structure is crucial to prevent the loss of protein in the urine. In patients with kidney disease, foot process podocytes fail to make an interdigital connection, which we call foot process effacement. In addition, the slit diaphragm disappears. Therefore, patients have protein in the urine.
There are a lot of insults that can cause damage to podocyte morphology. Why do different damaging agents cause the same sort of problem with the podocytes? Are the podocytes just particularly sensitive to perturbation?
So most kidney glomerular disease present with proteinuria, and the podocyte foot process effacement is a common finding in this glomerular disease. Podocytes are highly differentiated cells like neurons. Normal podocyte morphology and structure are maintained by multiple factors, including chemical signal, mechanical signal, and the surrounding matrix and cells. Any factor which could affect this component leads to the change of podocyte morphology, including foot process effacement. Therefore, podocytes are very sensitive to injury.
So there's a lot going on to help the podocytes maintain their morphology, and if you disrupt any of that, then you can have problems.
That's correct, yeah.
Using a rat model of drug-induced kidney damage, you identified proteins that are more or less abundant in normal versus damaged kidneys. What proteins changed in abundance in damaged kidneys compared to healthy kidneys? And how do those proteins affect podocyte morphology?
Several proteins, which are specific to podocyte, were significantly suppressed in the diseased kidney. In addition, we identified several novel proteins, such as those involved in cell-cell interaction. This protein may cause podocyte injury in kidney disease.
So the foot process itself is a complex
Ravi Iyengar.
Organization, and there are many facets to how it is organized. And several of the proteins that are part of this organizational capability seem to be downregulated when the foot processes are gone.
Once you identified those sets of proteins that were downregulated in podocytes and damaged kidneys, how did you use that set of proteins to predict potential targets for repairing damaged podocytes?
So the approach here is a combination of network building and experimentation. So once we have a list of proteins, since, like John said, this is a dynamic structure, which means that it's constantly receiving signals from from neighboring cells, from autocrine kind of signals, and from the extracellular matrix, we looked for protein kinases that might mediate the signal that would allow for these different proteins that are required to be maintained at their appropriate levels for normal morphology. So by building networks and finding what protein kinases might be involved, we were able to identify drug targets, in this case the upstream phosphodiesterase, as a target for allowing these signals to go through and contribute to the maintenance of normal podocyte morphology.
One of the nodes in that signaling network that you focused on is a transcription factor called Kreb. How does Kreb contribute to maintaining podocyte morphology?
Kreb regulates the expression of a protein called synaptopodin, and synaptopodin is a protein that binds to actin filaments and make actin bundles, and these bundles are very important within the foot process to give the appropriate geometry of the foot process. So this is one example, and there are many other ones as well.
If you manipulate Kreb activity in vivo, can you repair kidney damage in your model?
Yes, and this is what this paper and John and I had published a paper many years ago in molecular cell biology that also showed this. When we increase cyclic AMP levels and activate Kreb for an appropriate amount and for an appropriate duration, it triggers a gene expression program, including the expression of synaptopodin, and this program contributes to the overall restoration of normal morphology and then consequently the normal physiology.
This network model that you built, you used to find that keeping Kreb active for just the right amount of time was important for maintaining podocyte morphology or for triggering podocyte redifferentiation, for getting them to regain their normal morphology. How does modeling enable you to identify that node in the network, maybe better than, say, an experimental approach would have?
What the modeling tells us is, what are all the multiple factors that we need to keep the upstream regulation balanced so that we can get this Kreb, the transcription factor activity, for the correct amount and for the correct duration. So in this case, the activity of Kreb depends both on the protein kinase A and on ERK. And so we need both of these activities simultaneously and in the right sequence to give you the extended duration of Kreb activity. Without the modeling, we would not be able to understand this sort of interdependence between the two protein kinases and also select what drugs could be used to sort of rectify this situation. So both in the cell culture experiments and in the in vivo experiments, we were able to show that the drug, the phosphodiesterase inhibitor drug Rolipram, was dependent on MAP kinase activity to really give you this redifferentiation program, in addition to protein kinase A, of course.
This pathway that's dependent on Kreb activity can control podocyte morphology. You can tweak the pathway in the right way to cause the podocytes to redifferentiate, to repair damage. Does that work regardless of how the damage occurred in the first place?
Yes, I think this is true, because in the older paper that John had published, he had used a model where HIV infection injured the podocyte and causes foot process effacement. And there, too, he was able to show that the cyclic AMP and Kreb pathway was important in restoring the differentiated state. That study was not as extensive as the one that's coming out in Science Signaling. And in this case, it's a drug-induced model. So at least there's evidence that two different ways of causing podocyte injury can be repaired using the same approach.
And also I said before, actually, you know, in human disease, whatever cause of a disease, such as a primary glomerular disease, or diabetic-caused kidney disease, or HIV-caused kidney disease, the portal-size structure change, such a food process assessment, is a common finding in all this disease.
So, speaking of humans, how translatable is your work to human kidney disease? Are human and rodent kidney biology similar enough to think that these strategies might be useful for treating human kidney disease?
So, first of all, I want to say, you know, the treatment for kidney disease is still very limited, unfortunately. Therefore, I think a finding from an animal model could help us to understand and maybe discover some new drug target for treatment of kidney disease. We also know that in human kidney disease, the portals have a similar structure change as we saw in rat model kidney disease. Therefore, we believe that our finding could help us to better understand the cellular and the molecular mechanism of regulation portal-side morphology and identify the therapy to restore normal portal-side morphology function in the diseased kidney.
Ravi and John, thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was John Hay and Ravi Iyengar discussing a paper published in the February 4th issue of Science Signaling by Acıoğlu and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any questions or comments, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.